President Cyril Ramaphosa and his cabinet may soon have to face a court order to fix a collapsed municipality themselves. We get the latest from Saakalika CEO Piet le Roux. Welcome, Piet.
Good morning, Chris.
Why did this case have to be brought on an urgent basis?
Well, the town is in a dire state of collapse due to municipal mismanagement. It's been progressing and getting cumulatively worse over the years. We, 18 months ago, forced the province to take over the town, and it has completely failed in complying with its constitutional obligations to fix the municipality. And we're now bringing this on an urgent basis because the lack of water, the lack of electricity, the lack of basic services in this town necessitates an urgent intervention. And there is ample jurisprudence to support that view. And that is why this is being brought on an urgent basis.
Now, if this court order is issued, exactly what will the president and his cabinet members have to do?
They will be responsible for implementing the recovery plan in the Ditsobotla municipality. There's already a recovery plan drawn up, but this municipality is non-functional. There's basically nothing going on the municipality side. They will be responsible, the cabinet and the president. The president, as the head of the national executive, will be responsible for implementing and not ending their intervention until the municipality works again. Now, whether they can actually comply with that obligation and comply with the court order we seek is another matter, because they are presiding over state failure in so many other places in the country and on so many other levels. And that's another challenge to be solved. But for now, this is the final constitutional provision for what to do when a municipality collapses. The president, as the head of the national executive, and the cabinet become responsible themselves for fixing the town. That is what we are now asking. And I should add, we're also asking the court that they should report to the court and to us as Saakalika monthly on their progress. And they should every quarter meet with us for meaningful engagement on solving this problem. So that's what we are asking the court this time.
So with province having failed, what do you think the chances are of national government coming to the rescue in a meaningful way?
Well, unfortunately, the evidence so far points to the lack of will, the lack of capability also with the national executive. 2 years ago, more than 2 years ago, in November 2022, was the last time President Cyril Ramaphosa visited that town. And I've watched some clips recently. He's on record for saying that the town is taken over by criminals. He's promising that the town will have a fit and proper municipality by 14 December, which was like 3 weeks after that speech he made. Nothing's happened. Now, this isn't the only town in the country that's failing. It isn't the only state-owned entity that's failing. It isn't the only department that isn't complying with what it should do. So, unfortunately, the evidence points to a president and a cabinet failing to maintain a capable state, one sufficiently capable to recover a municipality. So it's quite possible that this court case and this order does not bring what is necessary, which is why we're also asking the court to keep the papers open so that in the event that the president and the cabinet fail once more in taking up their duty, then we will proceed to ask the court for further relief. And that takes us into uncharted waters, because the constitutional provisions only go explicitly as far as saying the president and the cabinet should intervene. That is both this takes us into unknown legal territory, which has its risks but also its opportunities. And we will seize as Saakalika on that. And I think the people of towns across this country will seize on that new legal terrain to develop the jurisprudence by which businesses and communities themselves must intervene. Because we cannot sit idly by and let towns go to waste and people's lives be in danger just because the state fails in doing what it should.
So would that last legal recourse then involve the private sector stepping in to perform what government has failed to do? Would it give them the authority then to do so?
Well, not by itself, but in case of emergencies, as we will now see develop when the president and if the president and his cabinet prove impotent in doing what they should be doing in its abortla, then it is inevitable that the help will have to come from somewhere else. And help can only come from people with capital and means and energy. And so it will be some kind of combination of the businesses in these towns together with the various communities finding ways to tackle the largest problems, the most urgent problems, the most pressing ones, and the ones with the best chance of getting solved with the means they have available. And what we will then seek to do is slowly, as urgently as possible, but step by step, develop the jurisprudence by which the courts, we expect, will acknowledge and protect those interventions, because the alternative is death to the town, death to people, no water, no electricity, destruction of capital, cascading collapses from the corners of rural South Africa, elevating into the regional towns, then rolling over into metros. So if we don't find ways to legitimize and develop recognition and legal protection for communities and businesses to intervene when national executive, the president, the cabinet themselves fail to do what they should do, we face a destabilized country. So there's no way around this. Interventions will have to be made as responsibly as possible and with as much support in jurisprudence as is possible. This will be a step-by-step process. It will be painful, but it has to be done. There's no other way. We cannot accept complete state failure.
Can you give us a brief overview of the current state of municipal decay in South Africa?
Well, in some of these provinces, the Auditor General says that up to 70% of municipalities are possibly not going concerns. So she lists in those audits she does every year on the state of municipalities and SOEs and state entities. In some of these provinces, up to 70%, and I think on a national average, it's like 50% of municipalities are possibly not going concerns. Of course, in so many of these, they're under various forms of administration, provincial, voluntary, provincial, compulsory. There are even one or two who's also tried variations on this national intervention that we are enforcing now in the Tsibotla. And the regression has been in has been steady. So every now and again, there's a slight improvement. And then it never takes us to the point where it was before the collapse happened. Just a little bit better, and then it degrades from there again. So it's step by step, you know, one step ahead, three steps backward for many of these municipalities for as long as the reliance is on the state. Now, still, towns like Lichtenburg in this Tsibotla municipality in Northwest, there's not nothing happening there. There are good businesses there. There are good farms there. There are good agribusinesses, but also good industrial businesses. There's it's more well known that Clover, which had a big dairy processing plant, left that town 2-3 years ago, but many others still operate there. Many people are employed. So despite the municipal collapse, businesses and communities in these towns and places find ways to still provide value, add value, build wealth, but at a great expense. When as Sakalicha or myself in this interview, when we emphasize that the state collapse, we must know that fortunately businesses and communities in many of these towns prove incredible resilience in making these towns work notwithstanding the state collapse.
Now, this application forms part of a series of court cases that you have brought over several years. What else are you looking at trying to achieve?
Let me give you an example of some of the cases we've brought and where we think this can be heading. So important cases in this constellation of cases we're bringing is the one about 3-4 years ago. It was a so-called resilient case where we intervened as an amicus and where the court eventually agreed very much with our arguments, which led to Eskom being prevented from turning off electricity wholesale to businesses when they've already paid their bills, but the municipality isn't transferring that money to Eskom. And of course, we want Eskom to be paid, but we can't have the businesses paying and then the municipality and Eskom, two entities of state, start fighting amongst each other and not paying each other, and then the businesses don't have any electricity. That's not solving the problem. It's just breaking the town finally and completely. So with that court order, to which we significantly contributed, we kept the lights on in dozens, possibly hundreds of towns across the country, and it saved billions of rand. Then we also litigated successfully against BEE procurement rules, which were forcing municipalities to do very bad value procurement. That comes at a cost to the town, and it comes at the cost of shared infrastructure fit and proper for the town. That was against Minister Pravin Gordhan's regulations, and also 2 or 3 years ago, after a 5-year court battle, we got that through the court. And today, municipalities, if they want to, are free much more than before to do value for money procurement and put BEE aside. Not most don't do this, but they are all legally capable of doing this. And then thirdly, we protected in Lichtenberg some of the organizations there, Services Association and others, who maintain legal disputes with the municipality on the rates that the municipality wants to charge them. But why do you have to pay rates if you don't get electricity or water and so on, and refuse removal on your, and you don't even get an invoice, an admissible account statement? So we protected, we helped the community there introduce disputes, proper municipal disputes, rates disputes, and we protected them from retribution by the municipality, unlawful retribution when the municipality tried to harm their interests in order to exact payment which the municipality didn't deserve. Then also, of course, we're now at national intervention, and it's been taking several years, just step by step, building the evidence, building the case, forcing the province to intervene, proving that the province has failed, and now taking this to national level. We think Lichtenberg, together with our partners there, good organizations like Agri Northwest and the Service Association and others, we think it's important. The Lichtenberg case is important because it's in such an advanced state of collapse, yet there is so much resilience in that community that this is, it's not a guarantee that this town can survive, but there's a good chance that the good people of the town, the good businesses of the town, together with good jurisprudence and the aid we can give, can establish some kind of precedent, some kind of example by which other municipalities could also, or other towns, see recovery despite the failing municipalities.
When do you expect a court order to be handed down?
We're scheduled. I think the plan is to be in court early May, 7 or 9 May, if memory serves correctly. Now, what has happened in the past is that the state has not in a very honorable way, delayed the proceedings of court. We hope that the president and cabinet and the other respondents do not avail themselves to such low tactics. In the interests of the examples that need to be set and the interests of the people in this town and the business in this town, that they also seek urgent relief and that they aid in the urgent proceedings of court. But we cannot guarantee that. But I can tell you from Saklicha's side and from our partners in the town side, we will do everything to accelerate the case as much as we can.
Thank you. That was Saklicha's CEO, Piet Leroux, speaking to BizNews, and I'm Chris Steyn. Thank you, Piet.
Thank you, Chris.